Hi, this is Annie at Anne Marie Gower on Twitter, and you are listening to A Dark Companion.
Hi, this is Zero, and you're listening to A Dark Companion, a Haunting Melissa and Dark Hearts podcast. Today we're talking about Chapter 17, called A Very Strange Little Guy. I've got a guest with me. Guest, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Annie.
Hello, Annie.
Thank you for having me on, Zero.
No problem. You're a big fan of the movie and the podcast. Thank you for all of your support.
Oh, yes. My pleasure.
All right, so let's see. We're looking at itwantstogetout.tumblr.com and looking at the Chapter 17 entry. So starting with the portal for the chapter, we've got the usual ring, but we've got Ultra Mega Man in the center. We can really see his weird kind of beady eyes. And the quote that I pulled for this chapter is from Farley Mason. The thing is, this Adam kid is one strange little person. So you can kind of see where they got the title from. The objects around the portal in the upper left looks like you can kind of see the outline of a alternate version of Ultra Mega Man that you'll see in the shed later. And in the lower right corner, there looks like a woman in a black dress. Okay. And
yeah.
Looks like a little toy. So there's a new, I guess, kind of character introduced in this chapter when Farley goes into the shed. And if you're looking at the blog, you can see some of the names that we've come up with to try to name this thing. And I guess we'll get to that when we get to that part of the chapter. So one of the things to keep in mind, and it's said in the dialogue in this chapter, is that this is 1 year after what we saw in Chapter 11 when the visitor delivers Adam to the Lancaster house. And so now Adam has been there for a year and looks like he's obviously freaked out everybody in that house.
Yeah.
So one interesting thing we see at the beginning is that Farley has an Ultra Mega Man doll in his room. Now, I've been wondering, having looked at the rest of this chapter, do you think that doll is the same one that's in the shed, or maybe that Adam has his own?
I think so. I mean, my perception of it is that that's from Farley's room.
Hmm. How did he get it out of there? Because we know Adam has the poster in his room. We saw that in one of those earlier shorter chapters. I want to say
yes.
Chapter 5. And so, I mean, it's conceivable that he may also have the doll. But you never know.
Well, that's true. But I'm not sure how much of a little kid he is. So
yeah.
I guess I don't see him playing with dolls.
That's true. And his whole room is decorated and he's got those drawings on the wall. It's very bizarre because he's a little kid, mm-hmm. but clearly there's something else going on there. Hmm.
Yeah, he's like in a little kid's body and maybe, whatever semblance of a little boy could possibly be. But it seems like that's where it ends.
Yeah.
His behavior and
whatever he's up to in that shed.
Yeah, whatever he's up to in the shed. He seems to me like he walked in the house strange.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't become strange or
he just
evolve.
Showed up that way.
Like, he's just, yeah, he walked in evil.
Yeah, so wherever the visitor got him from, he is already off and weird before he gets there. So I'd love to know what kind of arrangement there is. Like, okay, I'll give you your job back and fix all your problems, but you have to watch this kid. And for how long, and like, why does he need them to watch this kid? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I would think it would make sense that, you know, how do you send evil into the world? Hmm. You know, how do you send someone to do this job? And so if you put it in a kid, it would need a family to take care of it. So I think it sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
For Fedora. Here's a kid. Take him in.
It's
a great way to spread evil, too, isn't it? In a little boy's body.
Oh, yeah. I mean, did he take Adam from another family? Or is Adam from whatever other dimension he's from? I don't know.
Yeah, I would think he doesn't seem like he's someone from somebody's family to me.
Right.
You know, I don't know how that works or how you get a little boy's body, but if he did, you know, there's probably a whole nother connection there. But he seems like he's had some damage done to him at this point, if he was once actually a little boy.
Right, yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know. I try to picture different scenarios. Like, okay, he is somebody's kid, and he started getting weird and evil, and then Fedora comes and says, hey, I can take him off your hands, and he'll get taken care of by somebody else. Or that, you know, he's from some other side, wherever Fedora's from, and this is one of the things he does, is seed these little kids around to try to influence things and change things.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess if kids are... He looks out for the real evil kids.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'll take them.
Yeah, I'll take that. And he moves them over here and put them in position to accomplish something, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, after we see the beginning of the chapter and the Ultra Mega Man doll in the window, we can see he starts going across the street and filming the Lancaster house again. So he's continuing to be weird and creepy, as Farley is, a little stalkery. There's lots of interesting things that happen when he's walking around with his camera. And it's kind of a continuing theme in Haunting Melissa and Dark Hearts, where electronics tend to get glitched. And so this is a really good chapter to make use of the ability to scrub through frame by frame. And if you go to the blog at oncetogetout.tumblr.com, you can see some of the pictures I've isolated where, you know, in the trees you can see the outline of Fedora, and just lots of really weird things. So every time you see the camera glitch, pause it and go back and take a closer look. And certainly it seems to me, I think just about all of the little glitches in this chapter involve Fedora. So he kind of has some influence over electronics.
Yeah, in this chapter, this was a great chapter to spend, you know, 10 hours on.
It was like
the whole thing, right? Like, you just keep going each frame. It seems like the entire chapter.
Yeah, you just want to look through every little thing.
Yeah, this one was one that took me a while. That was fun.
Yeah. So Farley gets to the backyard, and Mrs. Lancaster and Adam are coming out, and she looks absolutely freaked out by him. As I'm sure we all do.
Yeah, if she ever thought he was going to be a nice little boy, apparently over the last year.
Yeah.
She's changed her mind. She just looks completely sure of herself that she does not like him.
Yeah, and so you think, as terrified as she looks, she's still with him. So clearly she's like under this big obligation to actually have this stick around.
Yeah, right. Like, she's stuck.
Yeah, like, I have to do this. If I just do everything Adam says, everything will be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's the one calling the shots, because she's not saying a word.
Yes.
She's just silent. So she knows that she's lost her parent role. as far as he's concerned, for sure.
Yeah. Needs to, I don't know, I guess make sure he's okay while he does whatever weird stuff that he does. And you know, he walks over and he just stands in the sandbox.
Yeah, right.
Just in case anybody's looking, he wants to live like a normal kid where they just stand in sandboxes as they do.
Yeah, right. It's like this whole chapter is like this great juxtaposition of good and evil, mm-hmm. I think, like all throughout. And this is one of them too. It's like, oh, he's a kid. He's in the sandbox, but he's not moving.
I was going to stand there and stare at you.
He has no business being there. Right.
And then he walks over to the shed. And that walk, that kid is really good at being creepy.
Yes.
It's almost like he's suspended by strings. It's like his back perfectly straight and he's just, like very robotic.
Yeah.
Very odd. And there's a glitch in there that I have. And if you look around good enough, you can see Fedora's hat in the bottom right corner and maybe his wrist in the top left corner.
Oh, yeah. So I always try to see that about the wrist. And can you explain that more? Is that the, like where the glow is?
Well, this one is like color blocks all across the top. And yeah, it looks like, I guess, the cuff of his coat. And just a little bit of his wrist. But you can see kind of his burnt or something skin.
Yes. Yes, yes. Okay. There's so many things to see, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm always like, I'm probably just imagining that.
I think that's what he was going for.
Yes. Right. That's what's so cool.
So he goes into this shed and just, we don't know exactly what he does in the shed, but the next scene when Farley's, it's so weird that he does this, that he's filming their house and kind of going from window to window. One thing is we see in the, I guess the living room, the bottom left window, we see Todd Lancaster, who, I don't know, he's just kind of like leaned over the couch, just kind of sitting there. Not really a lot to do with him. But Farley's especially concerned about Jane and how this whole thing seems to have affected her. She kind of shuts herself in all the time.
Yeah.
And then we cut
that's,
over.
I love that scene where he's filming that just because I feel so sorry for the brother because I feel like just from the first shots they had of him, he's just so forgotten and lost and ignored. And he just looks so sad.
Yeah, he wants his
but
dad's attention.
But he's like in the window, like lost. And then Jane's locked in her room. And then here's Adam, you know, in this nice house on a nice street. And there he is.
Chopping away.
It's so the extreme of the, you know, the whole spectrum of the good to evil of all the characters in the show. And he's just, you know, there's no question about him. He's not too, you know, what his motives are pretty clear. Not that I think he's in control of his own motives, but he doesn't have any, you know, there's no, doesn't seem to be any decision making. He just, there he is.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like he's a little kid for a minute and then something takes him over and then back and forth. He's just
right,
this,
exactly, yeah.
Well, a very robotic.
Yeah. Like, really, there's nothing in there except for whatever this evil is, or it's just, like you said, robotic.
Yeah, as much a robot as boy.
Robot boy, right.
Maybe there's a parallel there. Parallels are a big theme in this. And so he's in his room with like a cartoon butcher knife, like this stereotypical chopping meat knife. And he's up there just hacking away at something.
I mean, that is great. You know, it's like, oh, I just love that. I mean, it's just so, there he is. It's not like, you know, subtle or what is he doing?
Right. You know, he's clearly just chopping something with a meat cleaver.
Chopping with a big old cleaver. Yeah.
And I have my theories as to what he's chopping up. based on what we see later. We'll jump back to that in a moment. I got another little bit of video glitch. When Farley's walking, it's kind of the pathway, and there's symbols all over it, but there's three lines in the middle, which I have not figured out what they mean. I've been able to find stuff like in the bottom row of symbols. I think Out of the Darkness is there. But those three lines, I don't understand them. And then on the right, we've got Fedora again, messing with the electronics. And Farley, like a crazy person, decides to go in the shed. Which I would never do that.
Yeah. I would not go in there either.
Especially at night, like, I don't know. I wouldn't fill my neighbor's house, first off, but I also wouldn't go skulking around the backyard, let alone into the shed where the creepy kid does whatever creepy stuff he does.
Yeah, that's what's so great about it, right? Because it's like, no, don't go. What are you doing? But
yeah, I guess
then
that's
you're like,
the idea.
Oh, go in.
And so he goes in there. One of the things he sees is a little doll in a black dress on a shelf, and it looks like similar to the doll we see in the chapter portal. I also noticed that doll's black dress, black dress is kind of similar to some of the clothes we're starting to see Melissa wear now that she's kind of got this dark side going on.
Yes, definitely.
If it means anything.
Well, you know it does.
Everything means something.
What it means, we don't know, but it means something. Yeah, that's cool, creepy little doll.
And scratched on the wall, we've got like a little, maybe a representation of a heart, and the words, "I am the door," scratched into the wall, as well as a little tiny handprint over that.
Yeah. That is cool.
So something's driving, I guess, Adam to, you know, do all of this in there. There's also some more symbols at the bottom, which I haven't been able to make out to be anything meaningful. And then Farley stumbles across a wooden crate on the ground and starts digging through it. And uncovers a really grotesque-looking version of the robot. Strange little sharp teeth. There's like blood and stuff all around it. So
that was really cool and unexpected.
Yeah, and so if you relate that to Adam chopping something up in his room, I feel like he caught himself a squirrel or a cat or something. And
yeah, or one of, it looks like one of those little dogs to me.
Oh, okay.
But regardless, it's like some animal.
He did something.
Yeah, it used to be. Yeah, it used to be an animal.
And I don't know if that's like kind of sacrifice or why he had to do this. But
well, it is a cool thing when you're evil, isn't it, to kill animals?
Yeah.
And then it's a toy. That's his version of a toy.
And that's. They killed animals in the Maynard house.
Yes.
And ate their hearts, which is so weird.
Yeah, so it's related. And since he's in a little kid's body, probably something he would do because, you know, doll sacrifice instead of just going in and eating the heart.
Yeah, I'm sure he did that too. That's stuff to think about.
And is it related directly, you know, to whose doll it is, or?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah, especially with things we see later, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
and then things escalate. When Farley lifts up the crate and sees the doll and gets freaked out, then. This thing appears from out of nowhere, from the back of the shed, kind of seems to be coming after him. Names that we've got, the Bushmaster, Rub Guy, the Green Giant, Shed Clampet, Swamp Thing, the Groot of All Evil.
I haven't heard some of those, but they're good.
That's and Groot and Evil Groot. And so there's this big stick bush guy I don't know. You get such a short look at him. Comes jumping yes. out. And probably one of the biggest kind of scares in this movie at this is mm-hmm. this thing lunging out at Farley. And there are even some glitches in this. One where in the top left corner, it looks like the old hag laughing, maybe. There's some more symbols, just uh-huh. weird colors. What the heck do you think this thing is?
Did you figure out the symbols there? I know you did so much work at Nambo Parfo. You guys did so much work on all the... I was glad you did it, because then I could just know what it was.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff to go through and try to figure out all the symbols. Because you're only given some of them.
Right.
I translated them. But I will go back and attempt to do that. Some of them are a little hard to make out. But...
Yeah, they are.
They're kind of distorted.
Do those look familiar to the ones you've already?
Yeah, they definitely look like them. Yeah. It's just hard to really tell what letters they are. And the first letter there looks like a Y or a P. No, it doesn't have the triangle, so it's not going to be P. No, I think it's G, actually. That'd be G.
Oh.
Yeah, and sometimes the symbols, the letters that you see, they're not necessarily spelling out something, just a bunch of the letters, but I'm going to have to take a closer look at that one. I might be able to pull that off.
Did you find that sometimes you saw it where you weren't able to?
Yeah, it didn't actually spell a word.
Okay.
It was just like a collection of symbols. And then sometimes there'd be a few symbols that have a letter under it, so you'd have some given ones, and then ones next to it,
yeah.
You'd have to interpret kind of the alphabet of that. What do you think this shrub thing is?
Well, it's not anything I'd want to see in my shed.
No. Apparently Adam does.
Yeah, he doesn't mind it. It's just... That whole, you got a great picture of it here. You can just stare at him. It's just something, part of the whole network of, the evil.
Yeah, it looks like twisted branches and a lot of the aesthetic of the app, like when you first open the Dark Hearts app and the camera kind of zooms through all these images and stuff, there's a lot of those kind of wiggy things.
Mm-hmm.
So it must yeah. be something important.
I mean, it feels like it kind of fits with the whole, I don't know a lot about it, but it seems like, nature and going back to the beginning of time and, evil and good. And I mean, it's kind of bizarre looking, but I don't know if it's any more bizarre than any other form of evil.
That's true.
It's cool. I mean, it was, what a great scene. What? What is that? Did I just see something?
Yeah, because that's not like anything we've seen before. It's not, goth girl looks mostly like a person, except kind of weird and evil and smoky. And fedora just looks like a guy with a limp and some skin problems. But this is a whole nother kind of thing.
Yeah, getting away from a human. Like, it doesn't seem to me like that's human.
No, not at all.
Unless some guy did something wrong and he got turned into a tree.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like another level of it.
Well, this kind of goes to my whole thing about trying to figure out the teams of this whole story and, who's on what side. But, on the kind of weird other dimension evil side of things, you've got a fedora who looks like a guy, goth girl who seems like a person, but she also is kind of, smoky and wispy, would not like him. And then there's this thing that's not like either one of them or anything else.
Yeah.
But clearly they're all affiliated somehow. And I guess either.
Well, I just love that about this. And I think it's one reason why I just think, you know, these films are so amazing. Well, you've had your incredible guests that you've had on, having all the great characters on. I know Barb and Tom Carey.
Mm-hmm.
I think both talked about it, but just the multidimensionalness of the characters and their experiences and how, you know, so many different things could happen and you could buy into it because nobody's like, you know, just boring in one way. And I think, you know, it's so much more like real life where there's not just like, oh, one person only tells the truth and one person only lies.
Right.
It's like, you know, in real life, people do both. And then there's sort of a spectrum of, I think Tom Carey said something I just loved that he said, like who's, you know, who is good, who is evil, and who didn't have a choice or something.
Right, yeah.
You know, sort of like there's all different levels of it. There's not like, you know, there's not one side and it's so simple. It's really layered and cool and interesting.
Absolutely. I wonder how long this whole thing has been going on, how long Fedora's been doing what he's doing. And
yeah.
If he really is the top of this whole thing, or is he directed by someone else?
Yeah, and I heard you say this too, but I think I just saw him as the big old bad guy. And
right.
Now, after, you know, hearing you talk and listening to people talking, and I think now it makes sense that he's probably not. He's a lot more closer to maybe the people who are, you know, getting damned now.
Right. He could
be. At one time, maybe that was him, and now, you know.
Yeah, he could be a victim along with them, as well as now a victimizer.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. So I've got a bunch of questions written on the blog. You know, Farley says, well, the kid's name was Adam. Did something happen to him, or is he just using past tense there? Not really sure what Adam's future is going to be.
Yeah. So how long do we think Melissa's time is later?
I think it is 7 years later.
So he'd be like a teenager?
Yeah.
If he was still around. Yeah.
And what else?
What do you think happened?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what his purpose is. So I don't know if he just is now part of their family and just stays there, or if at some point after he accomplishes whatever he's supposed to accomplish, he goes away. I don't know. Or maybe he just, you know, hangs out with Fedora and Goth Girl and that shrub thing. Right. He's a citizen of the underworld.
Yeah. Oh. The Lancasters are waiting on him. Mom's cooking him food and he has his friends over. Fedora.
Yeah. And this is, it doesn't look like Upton, Kansas. This doesn't look like his neck of the woods. So clearly this whole evil swapping thing is wider spread than just that one area.
Yeah.
And so if it be wherever this is, then maybe Emma's trailer park where she was a kid isn't actually anywhere near Upton as well.
Uh-huh. And it's so interesting how they all connect.
Right.
And what is the common thing in the past.
Yeah, and we can see that the Lancasters made some kind of deal to make their life better in exchange for taking in Adam. So then you wonder what kind of deals other people have made, what kind of deal Emma's mother made. And I mean, we kind of have gotten some insight into the Maynard house, and you know, mm-hmm. they were supposed to be getting some kind of powers from Karis, and is that exactly the deal? And after talking to Barb in the last episode, her bringing up the idea that, you know, they all did something bad, but maybe Jack did something worse.
I know. I thought that was really interesting.
You know, maybe Jack made a separate deal with Fedora for something. I don't know what. I don't know.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting because, like I said, you can convince me of 12 different ways. Right. You know, it could be easily go. I just have this. I love Amanda Maynard because she's just the only one who just has never questioned herself or, you know, or apologized or hid. She's just kind of like Melissa goes to see her.
Yeah, she's just kind of losing her mind.
Like, I know who you are, you know. We ate the hearts, and then the devil came, and I have to go watch my TV show. You know, she doesn't apologize or worry about what anyone thinks of her. So she's so candid that it just seems to me, from what she said, and Catherine talking about they didn't know it was evil. I mean, it could have just been like, you know, they're a bunch of friends, and as far as they knew, it was like being dared to go into a haunted house.
Right.
And then that's what happened. And so how do they get out of it? I just feel like, I don't know. I like Jack, like just because, and I love hearing about when people don't, because I think it's so interesting. I just think he's like every man. He's right. Like hard worker. If this hadn't happened to him, maybe he would have been, you know, just a decent, hardworking guy. But something, you know, he's involved with his family that we don't know what happened. Yeah. We don't know what happened to Karis, so we don't know what deal they made. But Barb said too, she thought he was duped too. And I thought that's what it feels like to me. Like, you know, he doesn't know that much. He doesn't right. know what's gonna happen. He doesn't know the outcomes of things. He just keeps trying to, I think he genuinely cares about Melissa, but maybe feels forced to do something. And so he just like hardens up and gets defensive and blocks it out.
Sure.
What do you do when that evil comes in your life? You know, I don't know how I'd react or what choice he felt like he had, but I do feel like all along the way, he never really had the answers. He's kind of wasn't sure any of the outcomes. He always seems to be surprised. But I feel like, I kind of feel sorry for him. I feel like, you know, he's no hero, but I feel like he's sort of, I don't know, at this point, I can't really picture him having a deeper special deal.
Yeah, I mean,
aside from whatever him and Catherine had to do together, I don't know.
Yeah, he I'm trying to think of the timeline of things, because yeah, he seems like he's being plagued by Catherine. I think a lot of people's frustrations about him came from the first haunting Melissa, and you know, Melissa talking about how he seems to deliberately not want to be there, and so you start feeling for Melissa, so you're like, why did this guy just ditch her, you know, and clearly he knows something and he won't tell her anything. But
I agree. I see it. I see that for sure.
Yeah, and so then he finally shows up.
I think I feel
up.
More sorry for him than thinking, like, I don't think he, you know.
Yeah, now that we see him.
He's a sociopath. I just think he's kind of maybe, he doesn't know what to do, so he just backs off.
Yeah, we finally see him around the house, and we can see, like, how much of a toll this is taking on him. Because, yeah, you kind of just imagine him in the first one, and he's making these phone calls, and it sounds like things are fine with him because he's away and he's just leaving her to deal with it. But now you can see he's got problems of his own.
Yeah, definitely. Because I always thought that in the first one that, like, he's just avoiding or whatever. But now it does. You know, I guess I never thought of that he was deliberately staying away because of this.
Right.
I thought he was just being, you know, a guy who didn't want to deal with it. And that, but I've heard, like, you know, you and a lot of other people talk, and maybe you guys did think that's why he was staying away. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's hard not to assume, but it seemed like he had more, if not all, the answers. But then in chapter 15, where we see him outside having that conversation with Fedora, and he's like, yeah, this is not supposed to happen, you know. He definitely seems like things didn't go the way that they were supposed to. Which also,
and just that he's talking to him, right? Isn't mm-hmm. it? It's like that's another one of those things. Like, it flips both ways. Like, first I'm like, well, what's going on here? How can he be having this completely casual, unstressed conversation, or unfearful, maybe,
right, better,
with Fedora? Like, I don't get that. Like, the guy's, you know, how is he not nervous? And then, but what if he's? That's not what he sees. What if he sees a guy, like? You know, he's either right alongside Fedora because he's not afraid of him.
Right.
Or he only sees what they want him to see. And to him, you know, he's not seeing the scary guy who comes through, you know, or he used to know him, or who, you know, who knows.
Yeah.
But it's, he doesn't know stuff. You know, he doesn't have the whole story ever.
Yeah, he's being kind of strung along like everyone else. And
you know, yeah,
I wonder, you know, how he came to meet him. And it also makes me wonder, just seeing Fedora talking to him, is there a parallel between the Lancasters and the Strokes? Did the visitor drop off Karis or Melissa with them? I don't know.
Right. Like, how did it originate? Did it start by someone having a need to make a deal with the devil? Or did it start by... Yeah, I don't know. Like, it could go. You know, what came first? Like, how did Mr. Lancaster contact someone to get money? You know, how did that happen?
Right. Like, how did he find out that there's this thing you could do where you could talk to this
right.
guy in an old-timey suit and he'll bring you a kid, but everything will be fine?
Exactly. Like, where is that? In the phone book or something?
Yeah.
I guess they don't have phone books anymore, but... picturing the yellow pages. Exactly. But, yeah. How does that... Or is it because he's turned so evil that that's how this opportunity comes in, because he's drinking and, you know, abusing his family?
Yeah, and it also makes me wonder about the whole timeline difference, which I just posted about on the blog. Is that conversation they're having outside, is just a peek into the past? Or is this conversation actually happening right now?
Right.
Because Jack appears back in the house a little too instantaneously, where it's actually a bit more believable that he was just upstairs and then came down. He wasn't outside. And so it seems also like someone's deliberately showing Melissa certain things. And so somehow she's getting a view of this conversation.
Yeah.
Which would lead her to question her father more, but I don't know where it goes from there.
Yeah, so who's showing her it, and is she remembering it, or?
I don't know.
Is she being given it?
Neil, we need answers.
I know, I'm like,
I want to know what happened to Todd Lancaster. You know, what's he going through? How is this whole thing affecting his life?
I do too, because he's like gone, and I always felt so bad for him. And I'm like, okay, where is he now?
Yeah.
And just not mentioned, you know, so it's, you just think in your head, that's what's creepiest about it.
Wonder all these different possibilities of what could have happened to him.
Yeah.
Amanda Maynard goes nuts, and she's just in that crazy house. That's just where she is. Jane, she seems to be going nuts too, so you kind of wonder, well, you know, how is what's going on with Jane the same thing that's going on with Amanda? And then also, I guess, Catherine as well, because she kind of went nuts. But
yeah, it's so, and I love, and I love that part about it, because there isn't one way, you know. It's like Amanda's just kind of like, there it is. Maybe she didn't try to hide it or resist, you know. She's just, yeah, she's like, yeah, I'm crazy and I lost it because this is what happened.
Yeah.
You know, that, and that's it. And Jane handled it in the way where she just felt, you know, completely whatever, overwhelmed and scared and locked herself in her room. And then yeah,
something about mom, the situation.
Fought it till the end. And they hid it from people. They didn't tell the truth. You know, it's like every situation is, it's kind of like real life.
Yeah, it's very
which is
much
crazy, like, right? But, you know, like every person would be a little different. It's not like some cookie cutter thing, which is why I just think it's so great.
Yeah. Because it seemed like, you know, typical horror movie kind of thing of having like a central bad guy, you know, Jason, Freddy, whatever. But then the more you look at Fedora and the more you kind of think about the possibilities, it doesn't really seem to be this central kind of negative figure. He could also be, you know, a victim of things.
Yeah. And thinking that, what I thought was so interesting too, is that just picturing that he has a piece of, if that is the case, and if he is a victim, then being able to see a piece of that.
Right.
A piece of who he was somewhere in there still, even though he can walk and stare and laugh at people, you know, and doing his thing inside there somewhere, there actually is some kind of, you know, leftover of someone who could be sad about it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I would love to just see a little clip of Fedora as a regular person just before.
Oh, yes.
Like how this whole thing came about. Neil recommended a movie to me to watch, Le Samurai. It was this French movie, and it's he posted a poster of it on Twitter and saying, like, this is, you know, heavily how it inspired the way that Fedora looks. I mean, the main character guy's got the hat and and everything. And at one point in that movie, I'm not going to say spoiler, the movie's really old. But he gets shot in the hand. And so he's also got his hand kind of up, just like Fedora does. All right, how much of a parallel is this? Did he just like the way the guy looked and made him dress the same way? Or is this also evidence of a time period? And I don't know.
Yeah, that's cool. The whole time period thing, but you know, I hear people discussing, too, I think is interesting, the clothes. And
yeah, 1967 is when that movie came out, so I guess that might be the kind of time period that he's from as well.
Aha.
But how did he end up doing what he does? And, you know, Tom Carey said he was, like, you know, ripped apart and put back together.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I love the fact that he had to come up with his own kind of world around this thing to try to understand it more. But that, I don't know, it certainly seems like a lot of that is factored into the actual story.
He had some really cool things that made me think a lot. I mean, you know how there's a lot of things in the story that you can think of in your head, but there's nothing to back up why you think of it.
Right.
So it's like, well, I can think that, but, you know, it's irrelevant or whatever. And I don't know, just he said a couple things, and I'm like, I just thought it was neat. It was really great. discussion you had with him.
It's really
talking
interesting.
About characters that he was suggesting have a possible link, and
yeah,
I'm like, oh, you can't just say that. What else do you think?
I'd love to know every little detail about all of this stuff, but I'm hoping, you know, a third installment will be something. Because I'd like to see more of the past. I was very sad to hear that they tore down Maynard House.
Oh, I couldn't believe that.
I was like,
that was when you interviewed Neil, right?
Yeah.
I was like, what? Did I just hear that right?
Yeah, because when, the earlier chapter where the camera's just kind of moving through Maynard House, mm-hmm. chapter 4, and mm-hmm. on the back of the door, the last room that the camera goes into and then turns around, there's an eye on the back of the door. And mm-hmm. I mentioned it to Neil, and he was like, what eye? Like, they didn't put it there. And so that made that place extra creepy, and then there's some dark history for that house. And so it was kind of cool knowing that place existed. But
yes, I know. You could just tell by looking at it. There was real history there. But, that was sad when he said that they tore it down. Although maybe anybody who lives in the vicinity might not think it's so sad.
Yeah.
There's eyes on the door.
Just want it gone. I don't know.
Yeah, so they wouldn't be able to film in it again, although they could.
I could try to recreate.
Use old footage.
Yeah, use some old footage and try to recreate some interiors or something.
Because I know, don't you want to see that scene?
Like, yes.
Go back and show us.
Well, if they do that scene, they could do it really dark, so you don't really need to see the rest of the house.
Yeah, that's just true.
Like flickering candlelight.
At night and a couple candles. All you need are the same sounds, right?
Yeah.
They'll bring you right back there.
Oh, absolutely. I'm actually working, speaking of sounds, I'm actually working on getting a sound designer from the movie on the show, so that's coming too.
Oh, excellent.
Scott Kramer.
Such a huge part of the show.
Oh, it's so important. I watch a lot of these with just my eyes closed and just listen to the sound, and because there's things to get out of there. There's just moments where you'll suddenly hear these weird voices that if you're not really paying attention, you kind of hear them subconsciously, and they make it even creepier.
I heard you say that, and so I did it. I get a lot of ideas from you, Zero.
Yeah, because I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, I never thought of that. And you do hear stuff that maybe you wouldn't have when your eyes are closed, and it's amazing. It's so full.
Yes. Well, do you have anything else to say about Chapter 17?
No. Ooh. I thought it was a great chapter. I thought it was really, I just loved how it showed the extremes.
Yeah.
You know, the innocent kids and then, you know, the other, and then the people that live in the house that are in the middle, you know, who knows what it's, the people that made decisions or whatever, the parents, you know, so I thought it was a really cool, and then, you know, Farley being nosy, capturing it all for us.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was an important chapter.
Yeah, it's definitely a good thing that Farley's so creepy, so that we could actually see the heck
yes.
is going on across the street. And we have some confirmation that this is not just an isolated incident with the Stroke family, that this actually is out there somewhere. So hopefully we will find out more, especially in the next episode of A Dark Companion, where we'll be talking about Chapter 18. If you want to support the podcast, just by listening is support enough. Please rate and review us on iTunes. 5 stars would be greatly appreciated. You can listen to this podcast on either through iTunes or at adarkcompanion.com. And you can follow along with the chapter-based episodes and analysis on itwantstogetout.tumblr.com. And you can follow the show and me on Twitter. I am at A Public Witness, and the show is at A Dark Companion, so pretty easy to find. And on the darkcompanion.com website, there is a donation button, so please click that if you feel like you want to help the show out through PayPal. So, any final words?
Oh, thanks, Zero. You've made this an amazing experience to continue on for us Hannah Melissa crazy fans.
Oh, absolutely. Trying to get a few more episodes done, maybe just this week alone. So, thank you for being
excellent.
On. Thank you for being a fan
welcome.
Of the show. All right, you have a great day.
You too.